gonna cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're gonna make fun of people. We're gonna hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Friday, bros, doling out minutes on the mahogany, waxing it up, 100, 200, bad, seat, broken, bad, attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad, under bad, tape, bad, law, bad, dude, bad, breath, bad, it's bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Barola Palacio, right across the river through the woods from where Granny loves a little tokeny AK-47 for a best friend. Business the American way in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, the bread to travel, some kind of fashion shake, Adam should do, but all my friends and come around, flat to party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, but a mess is tied to tatter, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do, shake out, ooh, 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 woo. I think I might have caught something from Keith, should do, bad. Yeah, ooh, woo, ooh, woo, woo, shake it, ooh. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Pharrell with Mafia. And coming up later, Aaron Torres of Fox Sports will join us to talk college rack. Maybe a little college football. Maybe a little semifinal action. We can get in there with Aaron. We haven't talked to him in a while. Out in La 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 Lipstick City. Mafia, sounds like we're headed to Lipstick City. It sounds like, at the very least, I'm headed to Lipstick City in some kind of capacity or another for the, it would appear to me, the events that will transpire in early February at SoFi, which is otherwise known as the Super Bowl.
Sounds like it. That's what we were told yesterday. It looks like, we're going to be heading west once again. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be nice to get some warmer weather, not shoveling snow around Super Bowl time for once.
So what's the deal? Everybody goes?
That's what it sounded like. And we're all on the email, all three of us. I know a lot of the network's going to be out there doing different things, whether it be radio or TV. A lot of people from Radio Row shooting different shows from there. So looking forward to it.
When is that again? The week of the 7th or something? What is it?
Yeah, it is. The week of February 7th. Yep.
7th to the 14th?
Yep.
And what? When is the game? Is the game on February 14th?
No. The game is February 13th? Yeah, February 13th.
Oh, really? And the 14th Monday?
Right.
There you go. Who do you think is going to be in the Super Bowl, Mafia?
Right now, I'm going to say the Packers and... See, the AFC, who knows? It's up for grabs in the AFC. Just about anybody can go. The Chiefs, probably.
Yeah. I have a feeling like I don't mind that pick. I don't have a problem with the Packers, but I do think Tampa Bay will find their way there again. I mean, all they do is win. So, I mean, if they get home playoff games, forget about it. They win by 24 points in that building. And that Raymond James, I think they're tough at home. I think the Bills are going to find that out on Sunday. Do you?
Yeah, I think they will. I think it's going to be a shootout between these two teams. Both of them are banged up in the defensive end, and both their defenses have let things down. So I think that Fournette's going to have a good game, and then Brady's going to do his thing, and then Josh Allen's just going to be slinging it all over the place because they don't have a running game. So I think it's going to be high scoring. I don't like the Bucs' defense so far this year. They came on late last year, but they have so many injuries this year right now that makes me worry.
So I just watched the welcome our radio affiliates to Pharrell on the Bench on a Friday night. I just watched the Slim Reaper, the Easy Money Sniper, and the Brooklyn No Sleep Till Nets went into Atlanta tonight at the Hub, Phillips Arena, State Farm Arena, and beat the Hawks And it was all Durant and Harden again. And they did it with the fourth quarter, 113-105. They get involved and get the W. Trae Young had 31, 10, and 7, 10 dimes. KD, 31, 6 dimes, 5 boards. So how about that? They just said, we're the top seed. We're the top team in the East. We don't care what you think you are. You think you're going to, like, because they beat the Knicks last year. The Hawks act like they're somebody. They got to the semis, whatever it was, lost. And, I mean, bottom line is they had a hell of a run in the playoffs last year. But I think they're – I don't think they're as good as they think they are. I'll tell you this much. This guy Herter, nobody guards him, and he just nails shots. I mean, he absolutely just nails shots. All night long, the guy was hitting threes. And, I mean, when it's all said and done, you know, I want to look at his numbers at the very least. I mean, I saw him at one point. He had 19, 5 threes, 5 of 7 from 3. And then you get 31, like I said, from Young, 20 from Collins. And then Gallinari, 13, Capella, 14, and 16 boards. But you can't stop the Nets. Harden had 20, Aldridge, 15, Mills, 11, and Brown even had 15.
May or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever been hospitalized after driving off the road while wishing on a shooting star, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench with Scott Pharrell.
So the Nets shot 49% from the floor in that game, and that's why they won. Bottom line, I think the Hawks shot like 38%. Wasn't good enough in the fourth quarter. The Nets took over the game. They got a little separation, and, you know, there was a huge point in the game where Trae Young had a 2-on-1 break, and they were down, I think, 6. And he had a chance to make it 4 or 3. And he went to the hole and did a floater and missed it. And the rebound they got and missed that. And then they got another rebound. And the Nets blocked that and got that rebound. So 3 bunnies they missed. And the Nets got the rebound and went the other way. And that was the end of the game. That was all she wrote. And can you imagine what that team's going to be like when they have, if they have Kyrie Irving back? Now, don't get me started. I cannot stand this guy, the way he, you know, his whole act with everything, the Earth's flat, the vaccines, the, you know, the personal time he needs away from the team every month. Vacations every month. He takes 2 weeks off a month. He never plays. He's just always got some issue with the world. I think he's an absolute male organ. I mean, what a tool this guy is. He is a complete tool. But, I mean, there's no denying how great he is when he plays, you know, once a month. When he shows up for the playoffs, he's a dangerous character, I'll tell you that much. The guy can ruin you any night of the week by himself. No one can stop him. He's literally unstoppable. And if they get him back, if he ever wises up and gets the vaccine before everyone's dead, you know, we're all going to die. So if the Delta, the Omicron, the, you know, Pharrellicon, I can't keep track of all these variants. All I know is that it's exploding everywhere right now, the COVID again, and everybody's in hospitals. Hospitals are full to the brink. Emergency rooms are absolutely, you know, gushing overflow. And people like this clown, Irving refused to get vaccinated. Forget about boosters. They won't even get vaccinated. And I think he's selfish. And I think he's hurting the team. Everybody on the team got vaccinated except him. So I don't care what you say. If you do that, you're hurting your team. Mavia, would you agree with that? If you're the one guy that refuses to do it, it hurts everybody else. I mean, he's obviously hurt everybody else. They played the whole season without him every game.
Right. I mean, previously, you just saw, okay, you're putting people at risk. But when they flat out say, you know, you can't play if you don't have it, so, and your team says, all right, well, we're not having you be a halftime player. You got to be here all the time or not at all. And they just don't let you show up. Yeah, you're hurting your team. You're one of the best players. You're one of the highest paid guys. You're the one that leads the charge. You not being there is really hurting this team.
So, if you know, I guess he hopes that this goes away and that the problem is solved, but that's not going to happen. I mean, obviously, it's not going away.
Especially not in New York. Now you have kids that have to be, you know, the vaccine requirements for like indoor dining and gyms and entertainment is extending to kids now. So it's not going away. It's just getting worse.
It's getting worse. And it's, you know, now today, I think the governor today in New York, Hochul, she said, you got to wear a mask everywhere again. And then all I know is it's 2 years now, right? And they're saying, you know, the CDC and everything that they feel like in 2022 that it'll end. And there's been no sign of it and signs of it ending, right? So imagine this thing going on and on and on into, you know, a third year. And I mean, it really is insane. And the guy never plays again. He never gets vaccinated, never plays again. And I'll tell you what, I'm just being honest. If it happens where it just keeps popping up into a new variant and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse, which is what it's doing right now. I said to somebody the other day, I've already had three. I've had the two and the booster. I'll do six. I'll do 10. You think I'm kidding? What do I care? I'll keep taking shots. Nothing happened to me. I mean, whatever. I mean, I'm talking about like overall, I don't have it, right? And I'm thinking like, all right, you know, if the vaccines are so bad for you, which is what all these wackos think, then how come everybody that has it doesn't have COVID? How come everybody that has it doesn't have the problems? How come everybody that has it is healthy? How come everybody that doesn't have it is in a hospital or they're going to get it one way or the other? So you think you're smarter than everybody, then don't get it and then die. I mean, no one cares if you're dead. No one cares if anybody's dead. People only care if they're dead, right? I mean, that's the reality of it, Mafia. No one cares about anybody until you're dead. Okay. You're dead. People are like, thanks. Bye. See ya. I mean, let's face facts. That's what they do. Someone dies and they go on television and they say, like today, for instance, Demaryius Thomas died, allegedly had a seizure, whatever. They don't even know yet, but that's what they're saying, right? The kid was 33. It's very sad. It's horrible. It's horrific. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. It's an awful thing. And there's, you know, no getting around it. It's very disturbing that he's dead at 33. They found him in Georgia dead in his home. And then a week from now, no one will even know. I mean, honestly, like, same thing, Bob Dole. They buried him today, and next week, no one will even mention his name ever again. I mean, honestly, people move on. I mean, tell me I'm wrong, Mafia. Who dies, and they just keep talking about you for months on end? Nobody. They talk about you for a day or a week, and then it's over. People move on.
The only one.
That's it.
Right, for the most part, that's 99% of people. The only person I've ever heard them like extend it and still do things, still, you know, over a year later is Kobe. That's the only one that's they've dragged on for a long time right now with the death.
Yeah, and you know, I'll give you that, but even him, who's talking about him these days? Nobody.
Right now, no one.
No one, because that's the way it works. That's the way life goes on. And people move on, and it, you know, it is what it is. And don't tell me, because I've lost so many people in my life, and I buried so many people. So I've been around it. I don't even want to hear it. And I'm sure I'm not done. I'm sure no one's ever done burying people. And I'll tell you what, you get buried because of this COVID, because you didn't get vaccinated and you just didn't believe in it, then, you know, frankly, I don't think anybody feels sorry for you at all. I mean, that's as cold as anyone could ever be, but it's true. Would you argue with that, Mafia? I mean, honestly, if you don't get vaccinated and you think you're smarter than everybody and you die of COVID, I don't think anyone cares. They're like, well, he didn't want the vaccine, so he got what he had coming.
Right, put yourself at risk, you put others at risk. You know, you're taking that chance. It's like someone, I mean, there's going to be people that care. There's going to be people that are upset, but you took that risk. Kind of like, well, what are you going to expect? The people like, you know, base jumping and off of buildings and stuff. It's like, well, you knew what you're putting yourself against when you did this. You know, you raised the ante. It's what happens.
I know a guy that is walking around with a that's walking around with a fake vaccine card. I'm like, dude, I'm like, you're an idiot. I mean, just get the vaccine. What's the problem? Just do it. And he won't do it. And I'm like, bro, you're just asking for it. And I had it. And I mean, I had it bad. And it was Sid Vicious. I mean, it was no joke. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
It's Pharrell on the Bench. On a pain-free Friday, we go out to Lipstick City and hook up with our good friend Aaron Torres of the Aaron Torres Podcast and Fox Sports Radio. Aaron, my man, Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. Happy New Year. Hope you're Gandhi. Miss you. It's great to get you back on here during the holidays on the bench.
So I'm just kind of amazed that you're even working in December. I thought once, like, Thanksgiving hit, you were basically good till the end of the new year. Well, what's going on? Everything okay?
Yeah, well...
You owe your book or what? What's going on? Can't take this off?
If it makes you feel any better, I have had a lot of time off, and I'm taking more time off. I think I was off last week. I'm off next Friday, and then I think that's pretty much it for me for the rest of the year. So I think the 16th is my last day or something like that. But they, you're right. I take it off usually in the, you know, November, December, crappy weather. I don't like it here. So I get out of here, but it's true. I am working tonight. I am here. I am live and you're on. So that's all that matters. I am allegedly coming to Lipstick City for the Super Bowl. That's what Mafia is telling me. I'm coming to LA. So hopefully we'll be able to hook up and get you on the show live on TV right there in LA. I think I'm doing multiple shows out there every day.
Well, first of all, you tell me I'm in. I have not looked into the Radio Row and all that stuff, but you tell me when, where, what time, what to wear. I am there, bro. I am there. I'm excited. I hope you guys do make it out. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we are coming. So I know that I looked at it briefly. One of the locations is the Radio Row or whatever. The other one's at like the LA Convention Center or something like that. And I'm doing, you know, TV at one of them, radio at the other. So it's going to be crazy. It sounds crazy anyway. Originally, I thought I was going to Vegas because I do this huge, Super Bowl party at like the D in the downtown Las Vegas Event Center. And now it's with Circa, the big new casino downtown that Derek Stevens owned. I thought I was doing that, but apparently I'm doing this, so I don't even know. But let's talk about college basketball and college football. First of all, I want to get your opinion of the playoffs, the semifinals. What do you think of those games?
So what I would say, Scotty, is I think two things come to mind, and it's crazy, man, and I'll ask you this really quick. I mean, this playoff is about 4, 5, 6 years old, whatever it is. I don't ever remember the calculus on an entire season being flipped in one game, like what happened with Georgia, Alabama. And we all knew Alabama had talent, but they hadn't really shown it for 7, 8, 9 weeks. And so what I would say really quick, I think the playoff comes down to two things for me. I mean, I can't speak for you. You're great at what you do. Maybe you picked Alabama in that game, but I was one of many that picked Georgia. And I think the question I have with Alabama is, you know, the reason we all picked Georgia was because we thought that physical defensive line was just going to absolutely maul Alabama's offensive line, who couldn't block anybody all season long, straight through the Iron Bowl against Auburn. And so what I want to know is, was that a one-off deal, or did they figure something out during that week leading into Georgia? And then I think the second big thing is with Georgia, I think Kirby Smart's going to stick with this quarterback, and it's no disrespect. He's a good kid, former walk-on, but I just said it. Like, he's a former walk-on. He got benched last year, Stetson Bennett, and he got benched because Georgia realized we can't win at the highest level with this guy quarterback. He played two marquee games. He lost to Mac Jones when Mac Jones was at Alabama, and he lost to Kyle Trask when Kyle Trask was at Florida. And so Kirby Smart seems like he is going to stick with him. It seems as though that's going to be their guy in the playoff. But I don't know that they can win the next two games, including starting with Michigan, by the way. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they beat Michigan with this guy under center. And so those, to me, are the two big things. But as I said to you, I can't ever remember a season where we all thought one thing for 11, 12, 13 weeks, whatever it is, and then in a matter of 60 minutes, like, it completely flipped. But that's kind of what I feel like happened last weekend in Atlanta.
Well, I mean, and those are great points. I think that you might be right that Michigan will give Georgia problems, because I think, just like Georgia, they have a great defense and a very physical defense that pushed Ohio State around in the Big House. I mean, they literally dominated, you know, both lines of scrimmage. They were able to run the ball down their throat. They were able to stop the run. They were able to stop the pass. They were able to frustrate Stroud. Bottom line is, you know, Jim Harbaugh's got a great defense in Ann Arbor, and they're going to show up for that game. And the thing that I would agree with you with is, I don't think Bennett's that good. And I think the bottom line is that Kirby Smart can't beat Nick Saban. And I think that Alabama and that coach can, I mean, write their ticket. They just own them. I mean, they embarrassed them in that game. And remember, this has been going on for a while now. This has been every time they play, Georgia gets this big lead, and then they get their ass beat. It is the most unbelievable. You know, it's like a movie script. They just keep making sequels. I mean, Alabama beats them every time they play them. So who in their right mind is going to bet on Georgia in a championship game against Alabama? And you may very well be right, Aaron, in that Michigan could beat Georgia. I don't think, frankly, that Georgia is as good as everybody thinks they are, because they mowed through their schedule. They had a great defense. Yes. Well, where the F was that defense against Alabama? They didn't show up for the biggest game of their life.
Well, and two things leading into that SEC championship game. And again, I'm saying this as somebody who picked Georgia to win. I'm not trying to, you know, recreate history here and claim I said something that I didn't. But there were two things that did stand out to me outside of the quarterback stuff, is that one, obviously, look, the most talented team that Georgia played all season long in the regular season was Clemson, and that was on Labor Day weekend. It was obviously won a long time ago, but more importantly, they didn't score an offensive touchdown against Clemson. They won 10-3, and they had a pick six. Yeah, and so, like, that was a huge part of it to me. And then the other part, as far as Georgia was concerned, was you just look at the back half of their schedule, where the closest thing that they played to real teams this year, whether it was Auburn, whether it was Arkansas, whether it was Kentucky, whatever. I mean, these are teams that are fringe top 25 teams. They played them really about 6 weeks ago. And you look at who they have played over the last 3, 4, 5 weeks. They played, they played Georgia Tech. They played Charleston Southern. They played, I think, Missouri was 1 week. And again, you know, I'm not saying that I predicted they were going to lose to Alabama, but you looked at that back half of the schedule. You said, are they going to be ready to play this game? I mean, you can criticize Bama for a lot, but they play a tough game at Auburn late in the season. They play Arkansas late in the season. LSU clearly has dudes, even though win-loss wise they weren't great this year. So I think that's kind of, you know, I think it's kind of a fascinating thing, and I do think, I know sometimes I think some of this stuff is overrated, but I think Michigan's probably playing about as well over the last 5, 6 weeks as anybody in college football. And I mean, you know, you go back and like that Michigan State game, they were in control for you know, probably 40 to 45 minutes before they kind of fell apart in the fourth quarter. So I bring it all up to say, you know, I'm fascinated. By the way, I'm curious to see if Alabama doesn't show up locked in, can Cincinnati keep things competitive? I don't think they're going to win, but can they keep things competitive? I think so. So I'll say this, Scotty, really quick. I am excited just for these semifinals to get a little new blood into this thing. And I do think it kind of worked out well for the committee where we went into Saturday thinking it's going to be Georgia and Oklahoma State and what about this team and could this team get in? You know, you have now a literal David versus Goliath in Alabama versus Alabama versus Cincinnati. And then you have, obviously, Michigan-Georgia, which is kind of a battle of the heavyweights. I think all things considered, that day ended up about as well as you could have expected or hoped for if you were the playoff committee.
Yeah, I think Alabama, you know, and I don't deny that Cincinnati had an incredible season. And I had them winning in South Bend. I bet on them to win in South Bend. And, for me, that was their showcase game. And then everything else was just really nothing to be afraid of. They should be very afraid of Alabama because I got to tell you, I just don't see Fickell and Cincinnati being able to dance with Alabama. I really don't. I mean, if Alabama can kick Georgia's ass, what do you think they're going to do to Cincinnati? And let me tell you something. I don't disrespect Georgia. Like I said, they're not as good as everybody thinks they are. They are good. I mean, they slaughtered everyone that they played, but, and I don't deny that, everybody, I mean, it didn't matter. They put 30 plus on everybody that they played. Some teams 40 plus, 50 plus, 60 plus, they put on Vanderbilt, but Vanderbilt stinks. But they definitely won games and dominated games and put up points and did things. So I don't disrespect that. But in the biggest game of their life, they laid an egg and got trounced. I mean, trounced. Like usual, they lost to Alabama. And I'm telling you, if it's those two again, I'm going to the window with Alabama, as always, and I'm going to the window with Alabama against Cincinnati. And the only risky bet for me is the Michigan-Georgia game. Are you going to take 7.5 and buy into Jim Harbaugh? Because they cared about, you know, Aaron, I think in their life was beating Ohio State. Now that they've accomplished that, they got into the playoff, and I'm not sure they're like, do we have to wear these diapers at this game? Because they've never been there. So to see them there, they may not, I don't even know if they can handle the moment. Georgia's been in this situation, so it may be tough for Michigan. We'll come back and talk college rag with Aaron Torres.
When it comes to getting trusted sports gaming strategies and info, you can ask your dumb friend Kevin. Duh! Or you can just listen to us. We recommend us. And we won't ask to borrow your car either. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
We're talking to Aaron Torres out in L.A. on the bench. So I ball tons, dude, as you know, and I'm balling again tomorrow, balling again Sunday. My team is in the league, undefeated, ran the tables. We're playing in the semifinals on the 20th. We won on Wednesday night by 53. I dropped a –
whoa!
I typically don't drop triple doubles ever. I'm not a triple double guy. But I had an 8-9-7 run the other night in our last game, and I almost had it. I didn't even know I had it going on, to be honest. I was just looking for rebounds, and I was trying to make plays and make passes to guys that were open because we just blew this team out by 53. We weren't even trying to blow them out. We just were playing. We were just finishing the game and playing. We don't rub it in anyone's face. We don't talk smack. We don't argue with refs. We don't yell at refs. We don't say a word. We just play. And I think that's why we're so good. And we've been together a long time. But I guess the point in all this is I'm just balling so much that, like, I'm caught up in things like I don't care who's ranked. I don't care who's supposed to be good because they got a big name. I want to talk to you about, like, did you see? I played ball with this kid, Ron Harper, here, and when he played at Bosco in North Jersey, I banged with him before and played when he was in high school, and he was a big boy then. And he would rope and run with us and play. And I could tell then he had a big ass, and he was going to have a big, you know, wide body game and a physical presence. He was that kind of way in high school. And then it just got bigger and bigger when he went to Rutgers. I thought it was really cool that he went to Rutgers. I think he could have gone anywhere. And his dad is, you know, legend. And the fact that he went to Rutgers, which, you know, Rutgers sucks. But the fact that he went there to play ball, I think, is a great thing. And to see him hit that half-court shot against Purdue, that's what it's all about, Aaron.
It is, man. You know, and that was kind of one of my big takeaways last night, Scotty, was I think it's not as bad now because we have this name, image, likeness thing where kids are getting, you know, good money to play college sports. But, you know, we criticize all of the negative about college sports, and I think there was a ton of negative in the last probably 18 months of, especially last year, should we play football, should we not, is it safe to play basketball, we have to shut down this, we have to do that. Like, that was like why we love college hoops, right? And everybody knows I'm a huge college hoops guy. And, you know, I know the sport has its faults, and I know there's problems with it like every other sport. But, you know, Full House at the rack, apparently they're calling it Jersey Mike's Arena now, which was a new one to me.
Yeah.
But down to the wire, number one team in the country, Purdue's first game ever as the number one team in the country, Full House, full stands, full capacity, loud. Like, it was just awesome. The whole atmosphere was awesome. And I think college hoops really, maybe more than any other sport, has been really just helped by getting back to a sense of normalcy. I was at the Duke Gonzaga game in Vegas. It was a packed house. They actually set a record for most fans ever attending a basketball game in Vegas, which is kind of incredible, in Nevada, excuse me, which is kind of incredible when you think about UNLV and all that stuff. And so I just bring it up to say, like, I thought that game, more than a win, a loss, what does that mean? I just thought it was a great metaphor for having college hoops back to normal. It's a great sport at its core, and I thought it was on full display last night when Rutgers knocked off Purdue.
Yeah, I thought that crowd was insane, and I thought you could see it in people's faces that were on the floor afterwards with people, like, holding up their phones, filming this moment, like, I am having an awesome time right now in my life in this moment. I was at the Steeler-Raven game on the two-point conversion with Lamar Jackson, and they failed at the end of the game. And my season tickets are right there, 10 rows from the field, right in that end zone. And I can reach out and touch the players. It's pretty cool. And I filmed it, and I have it on film. And all I did was, when they failed on the two-point conversion, the Steelers won 20-19, and the Steelers suck. I get it, but that's irrelevant. What I did was I just took my camera, and I spun it around 360, and I went around in a circle to watch all these people in my section completely hammered and freaking out and screaming and yelling and cheering and hugging and high-fiving and smiling and happy, people just happy. That's what it reminded me of, the scene at the rack. Now, let me ask you about that Duke game that you went to. Were you surprised that Duke beat them? And are you surprised that they're kind of like average with Timmy? I'm sitting there watching them. They couldn't even cover against Merrimack.
Well, what I would say, you know, going into the season, I was a little lower on Gonzaga than most people. When I say lower, I had them, you know, fourth, fifth in my preseason poll, and I thought they were going to go, you know, 31-4 entering the tournament instead of 34-1 or whatever. And, you know, like, they lost a lot, and I know Timmy was kind of the tournament hero and all that stuff, but, I mean, they lost three guards that are playing in the NBA right now. And so with the Duke game, I was only surprised because I was at the UCLA game a few nights before where they destroyed UCLA. And I know as we get into tomorrow's slate as well, like, I do have some concerns about UCLA. Mick Cronin has some concerns about UCLA, I can tell you that much. And so I was only surprised because, UCLA, you think coming off of last year's Final Four, they kind of had the blueprint to slow down Gonzaga. You would have thought that UCLA would be competitive against them in that game, and the fact that they weren't this year kind of made me believe that maybe I was a little bit wrong on Gonzaga. I think they've obviously come back down to earth. They lose to Duke. They lose to Alabama last week in Seattle. It was, you know, it's a neutral court game, but it was really a home game for Gonzaga. And I think that's kind of who they are this year. Is I think, one, I don't think there's any great teams. I think Duke's good. I think Purdue's good. You know, we'll see about a team like Bama, a team like Kentucky, a team like that. But they lost a lot. And, you know, for the first time basically in years, they have a lot of really young players that actually have to play minutes. Mark Few's not the kind of guy that's going to thrive with freshmen in his lineup the way that a Coach K or a Calipari can. And so, I think it's a good team. I think they'll probably make the second weekend. I don't think this is a vintage Gonzaga team by any stretch.
What's wrong with UCLA, Aaron? I mean, you tell me you're watching the games right there.
Well, you know, I was at the Villanova game too, which was probably on when you guys were on a few weeks ago.
Right.
You know, and a couple things. One, I like Mick Cronin came to the post game press conference. He's like, "We don't defend. Like, what are we doing?" And I forget the stat against Gonzaga, but I think it was like 16 points in transition in the first half. And he's like, "We got down so far so fast that like we couldn't make up for it." And so, I think tomorrow against Marquette's a little smaller, a little bit more athletic. They try to turn you over. I think it's going to be an interesting challenge for UCLA because that's another kind of team that they can score, and they can score in bunches now that they have some limitations, they being Marquette as well. But if UCLA doesn't come out ready to play, they can lose. And so I think from Mick Cronin's perspective, it was the defensive effort against Gonzaga. They also, their starting center from last year's Final Four team, Cody Riley, has been out for a few weeks with an injury. And so I think they can get it back. I think the other thing, too, really quick, Scotty, is it's worth noting, like, you know, we praise them for returning everybody from that Final Four team, which we should. But they also brought in a big-time transfer, actually, ironically, from Rutgers. We were just talking about them. And a big-time, high school player that everyone thinks is going to be a one-and-done. And you know this. I mean, listen, you're part of one of the most dominant basketball teams this world has ever seen. 53 points the other night you guys won by. But you can have in basketball too many good players. Right? You like that? You like that? You can have too many good players. I mean, you know, not everybody is a Scotty Farrell that's willing to just, you know, drop seven dimes and finish with 8 or 9 points. And so that's kind of my concern with UCLA. Everybody wants to get to the league. Everybody kind of sacrificed last year when nobody expected anything. Now it's a different deal. You've been hyped all offseason. A couple guys tested the NBA draft waters. A couple guys decided to come back. One guy thinks he's going to be, you know, there's a few guys that think they're going to be out after this year. I think that all leads to where we are, and it'll be interesting to see because, you know, for all the criticism, I mean, they are still 7-1 with that only loss to Gonzaga.
Yeah. So when I played like 200 games in this league over 8 years, something like that, and I've averaged 12 in this league, and it's hard to do. It's hard to – I think it's hard. Like I've had 15 nights. I've had 36-point nights. I've had 25-point nights. Mafia has played with me, and he's won 4 championships. We've won 8 or 9 championships. Wow. And we've lost 9 championships. We've lost in the final. We've been in it 18 times, and we're playing in the semis now, but – it's hard to do every night is maintain consistency. That's all I know. It's hard to do. So over time, playing every day, it's a grind. And all I know is, like, I want to ask you about Wisconsin. Do you buy into them after they beat Indiana? And what do you think of the job that Mike Woodson's doing in Bloomington? Is it any better than anybody else has done there?
Well, you know, with Wisconsin, really quick, I'll just say this. The kid Davis that hit the 3-point shot to essentially win the game, he's awesome. Like, that's a quintessential story of a college basketball player, was good as a freshman, was a role player, and I don't know what he was doing in the offseason, but he is awesome. Like, I think he's, frankly, I think you could make an argument he's the National Player of the Year so far, and it's way too early to even talk about that kind of stuff. But with Indiana, you know, it's really funny, Scotty. I watched that whole game. And I've been a Woodson guy. I want him to be good. And I was impressed with kind of how aggressive he was with the transfers and with recruiting. And I thought he was going to kind of come in. And, you know, I don't know what I really expected. But I did, after that game against Wisconsin, and I'm sure you talked about it on your show, I know you know, but for people who don't know, they 22-point lead at halftime, 15-point lead, 22-point lead in the first half, 15-point lead at halftime,
right?
And they just blew it, and they fell apart. And it was one of those, if you've watched Indiana the last few years, you could see it coming. I mean, they were probably 10 or 12, and you're like, oh, my God, they're gonna lose this game. They're going to fall. They're falling apart. They're letting them back in this. And so that would be my concern if I'm an Indiana fan. The coach changed, the whatever. The results are the same. And so I don't know if it's just a mental block, kind of like what we were talking about with Georgia against Alabama. But at some point, they got to win a few of these close games. And I don't really blame Mike Woodson. He put players in position to win. And then late, they just couldn't make plays. You know, there were things he could have done differently, but I don't blame him. But I had the exact same thought as you, Scotty. I was like, I cannot believe that this is happening again. This looked like a vintage. This looked like Archie Miller 2.0. They're up, they're confident, and then all of a sudden you just slowly start to see it falling apart, and obviously it ending with the way that it did with Wisconsin winning. Yeah.
So I got 30 seconds. Mafia says you're a wussy for not talking about Seton Hall.
I love Seton Hall. They're awesome. I think they're awesome. Their only loss this year, first of all, the Big East is way better than I expected. Providence is really good. I think UConn's going to be fine. Their two best players were hurt when they lost to West Virginia the other night. I'm blanking on somebody else who's been exceeding expectations. Not Xavier, somebody else. Seton Hall is really good. I mean, their only loss was to Ohio State basically at the last second when their best player got hurt in that game. Seton Hall takes care of business against Texas yesterday. I like them. Nova's good. I'm blanking on somebody. I can't believe I'm doing it. Marquette. I think Marquette's awesome.
Yeah,
we'll see them against UCLA tomorrow. So I think the Big East is awesome, but Seton Hall is really good. They're really good.
All right, I got to run, Aaron. I'll see you in L.A. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight. Love you, bro. Merry Christmas. There he is, Aaron Torres. Problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
So I'm watching the Suns up 7 on the Celtics in the Valley in Phoenix. And no D-Book tonight. He's chilling the most. He got the hammy. He's missed 4 straight games, so he's averaging over 23, whatever. He's lighting it up. They're lighting it up. They're a great team. Meanwhile, I'm always saying this. ESPN spends all day talking about the Lakers, and when they're not talking about the Lakers, they're talking about Steph Curry, and they don't talk about anybody else ever, and they don't even talk about the Nets. They just talk about the Lakers, the one game over 500 Lakers. Meanwhile, the Suns will beat their ass. They'll beat their ass. By the way, Bobby, tomorrow night, date night, I got a date with 34C, taking her out to a fancy restaurant. Looking forward to that. I got ball in the morning, and then I got to gear up for taking her out. Got to gear up.
Makes sense. Got to make up for all the trips to Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah. That's right. There's been a lot of, money blown and just constantly getting my way and going to big games and partying and eating. I've eaten at 15 great restaurants in the last couple months, and she hasn't been to any, and she wants revenge. So I did invite her out to dinner and got a reservation at a really nice place, and hopefully I can woo her and win her back over tomorrow night. Supposed to be 66 tomorrow in New York, and then tomorrow night is supposed to have crazy storms. So I just hope I go and get in a good dinner without being shut out by some storm.